We're talking about Joseph, made for more. Joseph is an Old Testament character, and we find his biography, his life, in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 37 to 50, and that has been his life, as we've looked at it, has really been the focus of this series, Made for More. And the reason we chose Joseph is because he has a dream from God, And he sees these 11 sheaves of corn bowing down to his sheaf in his dream, interpreted being that he will rule over his 11 brothers. He has another dream, and he sees in his dream the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him, interpreted being the sun and the moon are his mother and father, the stars are his brothers, and they will bow down to him. Now, we see in the life of Joseph over many years that in fact is what happens. God takes him through a series of events and experiences, ups, downs, trials, takes him through a series of events which eventuates in his brothers coming to bow down to him. And we'll see this in a couple of weeks in the series when his dream is fulfilled. Well, God has placed on you a vision, you know, for what he wants to do in your life, how he wants to work through you. You're God's workmanship. He has good works for you to do. And this is your dream, and this is your, you know, God's purpose for your life. Discovering that, being assured of that, walking in the purpose of God is the most exciting way to live. You know who you are. You know what your gifts are from God. You know where your sweet spot is in terms of serving him, and you're doing it and you're loving it and you're seeing other people touched by it. But for you to experience the full usage, so to speak, the full experience of God using you, you have to be prepared for that. You have to be shaped for that. And God doesn't put a dream, a vision on your heart and just move you into it without preparing you, without equipping you. And so we see that in the life of Joseph. He goes through a lot. He goes through a lot. And in chapter 40, which we're going to look at this morning, he is in jail. The verse begins this way. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. Now, sometime after this, in chapter 39, Joseph has been sold as a slave to a man named Potiphar, who was in charge of Pharaoh's prison, in charge of Pharaoh's bodyguard. He was sold to a man named Potiphar, and he did really well under Potiphar. Potiphar loved him. He was a success. The Lord was with Joseph, blessed him, everything he did. But Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph, lifted up her eyes towards him, and fell in love with him. And she wanted to sleep with him. And Joseph said, no, I can't do this. I mean, you're going to ruin my job, and then I can't sin against God. I mean, I just can't do this. So Potiphar's wife became very upset that she was spurned by Joseph, and so she screamed that Joseph came in and tried to rape her, and she screamed and he ran away. And Potiphar came home from a business trip and heard about this and believed his wife and took Joseph and threw him in jail. That's chapter 39. So Joseph's life is, you know, he's sold by his brothers who are jealous of him, who hate him. He's sold by them and to some Ishmaelite traders, and then the Ishmaelite traders sell him to Potiphar. He's doing well for a while, and then he is accused of, you know, of assault for Potiphar's wife. So he's thrown in jail, and now we're in chapter 40. He's in jail. Okay, this is Joseph in jail. Anybody feel like you're spiritually in a jail right now? Feel like you're spiritually in a pit? Feel like you're having to wait on God's plan and God's working and God's answer? That's Joseph in chapter 40. And there's a couple of people that come to join Joseph in jail. The cupbearer of the king of Egypt and the baker. Now, they committed some offense against their lord, the king, the king of the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. So Pharaoh has these two officials, and the cupbearer and the baker, their chief cupbearer, chief baker, and he throws him in jail because he's upset. Now, the cupbearer was the one who would bring the Pharaoh's wine to him. Okay? It's like maybe the wine was bad, and Pharaoh says, bad wine, throw him in jail. I don't know. Probably more intense than that. He would bring him his wine, and he had to make sure it wasn't poisoned. You know? I mean, it's like, yeah, you're going to bear the cup. Here, drink this. If there's poison in it and it kills Pharaoh, why then, you know, so it was a very trusted position to be cupbearer to the king. And he wasn't just cupbearer, he was chief cupbearer. And the chief baker who made all of Pharaoh's food, he was responsible to make sure the food was delectable and, you know, appropriate for the king, but also that it wasn't poisoned, there wasn't anything wrong with it. So these guys disappointed Pharaoh. I don't know why. It doesn't say. Maybe there was some plot against Pharaoh and they missed it. Maybe they're a suspect of something. And so anyway, they're all thrown in jail with Joseph and they're confined with him there. It says the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them and he attended them and they continued, notice, for some time in custody. We know that Joseph is himself in jail for at least two more years. We don't know how long they've been in jail together, the cupbearer and the baker and all of that. But you have to understand the trial of Joseph, the trials of Joseph, the difficulties, the waiting on God. He had a dream from God. He had a vision from God, and he's having to wait while he's being refined, while he's being shaped through all the experiences of his life. From the time Joseph had his dream until the time of fulfillment was 13 years. 13 years. And he was ready, you know, he thought he was ready when he had his vision to rule over his brothers and his mother and father. He thought he was ready, but he wasn't. God knew he wasn't. And so there's this experience he goes through, which includes incarceration for something he did not do. Well, he's got some buddies now, the cupbearer and the baker. One night, the cupbearer and baker, they had a dream, okay? They dreamed, and they were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. And when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. They were discouraged. And he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, well, why are your faces downcast today? You know, the cupbearer has a dream, the baker has a dream, and Joseph notices they look a little discouraged, you know? And which to me, a little humor here, huh? Why am I discouraged? We're in jail, man, you know? We're in jail. What do you mean? Why am I discouraged? Trying to take it one day at a time? But you appreciate Joseph, and you should notice this, that he was compassionate towards these guys. You know, I mean, he noticed that they were down. And you have to be, as you go through your experience with God, as you walk with God, and he uses every experience of your life, you want to keep your heart tender before him. I mean, this is why we're spending time studying in scripture and studying the life of Joseph, so that you don't become embittered with the experiences of your life, the difficult experiences of your life, the false accusations and the bad treatment and the ups and downs and the trials with parents and the trials with children and trials at work and with your health and dealing with other things, that you don't get lost in it and become bitter and angry and exasperated, but that you keep a tender heart towards God. He's working in that. He's working in that. He's working through all of it. And he's able to, you know, be compassionate towards the guy. What's the matter? What's the matter, guys? And they said to him, well, we've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell. So please tell them to me. Hey, I've got a little experience with dreams. I've had some myself. God gives the interpretation. This is what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. Same thing, this humility in Joseph. God gives the interpretation, so tell me what it was. And let's see if God doesn't give me the interpretation. So the cupbearer says, great, that sounds really good. Let me tell you my dream. And the cupbearer tells him his dream. And it was that he saw a branch. And on the branch were, or the vine, were three of these branches, clusters that bloomed and bore fruit. And he squeezed one of the clusters into a cup and handed it to Pharaoh. That was his dream. And so Joseph goes, what does all this mean? And Joseph interprets it. Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Awesome. Okay, good news. It's a good interpretation. The baker is excited and wants his dream interpreted. But Joseph says this to this cupbearer. He says, look, would you remember me? You know, I mean, in 3 days, you're out of here. Okay, that's what the interpretation is. Would you remember me when you go to talk to Pharaoh and it's well with you? Do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of this place. Get me out of here. Just put in a good word, man. I mean, I'm interpreting your dream free of charge. Put in a good word for me. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. Do something for me. Now, the baker says, let me tell you my dream. So he says, I saw three baskets on my head. They were all filled with baked goods, all of them. But the top one, the birds were like going after it and eating all the food in the top basket. What does this mean? And Joseph interprets his dream. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Okay, good. So far, so good. 3 days. Great. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. And this is exactly what happens. In 3 days, Pharaoh's having a birthday party. I'm giving you some of the narrative. You can read it in chapter 40. But Pharaoh has a big birthday party, and he reinstates the cupbearer to his job, and the cupbearer gives Pharaoh the glass, the cup. But the baker is hung. He's hung, and the birds do, in fact, just peck at him. And so not a great interpretation for the baker. I think if I was Joseph and God gave me the interpretation for the baker, I'd be tempted to say, you know what? You don't want to know. Okay? You don't want to know. Just take one day at a time. Enjoy it. Okay? This is a test for Joseph. I mean, will he give the good news and will he give the bad news? Will he be faithful to God to interpret for the cupbearer and for the baker, even though the baker's news is bad? He's going to have to interpret Pharaoh's dream, which we'll see next week in chapter 41. That's when Joseph finally gets next to the cupbearer, gets next to Pharaoh. But, you know, I need to, as a preacher of the gospel, the preacher of the good news, I need to give you the good news. And when it's in Scripture, I need to tell you the bad news also, don't I? I mean, I got to tell you the good dream interpretation for you. But also, I got to be faithful when it's not good. This is what God's servant is to do. You know, so the gospel is great news, isn't it? The gospel, Jesus Christ, God's Son, became human, died on a cross for us, took upon himself my sin and your sin. Jesus Christ bore upon himself the sins of the world as our substitute. He took our place. He bore our sins. In exchange, by placing our faith in him, we receive the righteousness that comes from forgiveness and from a relationship with Jesus. We become righteous in him, accepted by God forever. Sins forgiven forever. It is finished. Jesus said, now that's the good news. And I implore you, in God's stead to receive the good news of the gospel. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your need to Him. Confess your sin to Him. Turn to Him. Turn to God. And receive the grace that is in Jesus Christ and be declared righteous through your relationship to Jesus. I mean, it couldn't be better news. And look forward to the eternal life that's being prepared for you even as we speak this morning. Oh, receive the goodness of God. What if you reject? What if you reject? What if you say, oh, I'll work it out myself? I don't believe that stuff. That is bad news. There is no other name given under heaven, no other name given under heaven but the name of Jesus Christ by which we must be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Apart from Him, there is no salvation but the expectation of judgment for sin. Come to Christ. Be forgiven. The good news, the bad news, the cupbearer, the baker. Joseph is passing this test. He's telling them the interpretation as God has given him. I mean, Joseph knows dreams can get you into trouble. Right? His own dream that he shared with his brothers created jealousy in them and hatred in them, and it ended up in them selling him after they decided not to kill him. They sold him. He knows telling somebody their dream could get you in trouble. What if I tell them this, the baker, or tell the cupbearer their dream? What's going to happen to me? But he's faithful to do it. Yet, verse 23, look at this verse. Yet, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but what? Forgot him. The cupbearer got his job back in 3 days. Life's good again for the cupbearer, right next to Pharaoh, one of his officers, enjoying the birthday party, enjoying the position, forgets all about his buddy in jail. Forgets all about him. Doesn't need to deal with that. You get chapter 41, verse 1. The next chapter says, and then 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And no one in all of Pharaoh's kingdom can interpret Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh brings in everybody, and nobody can interpret his dream. And the cupbearer goes, oh my God, oh dang it, I forgot there's this guy. There's this guy who interpreted my dream 2 years ago. Pharaoh says, get him. So then that's what brings Joseph in. But for 2 years, Joseph's waiting. Forgotten. Totally forgotten. I want to kind of jump on this a little bit. When people forget you, it hurts, you know? There's a lot of hurt in Joseph's life. And I mean, the principles I'm going to give you could be applied to any of the hurt that Joseph experienced. But there's the hurt when people forget you. You gotta remember a few things when this happens. And let me give you three principles here. The first thing is that God is enough. You know, when the baker and the cupbearer were in jail with Joseph, it was a hard time, but they were together. They were together. I mean, it was like they were going through it together. Joseph even cared about his buddies in jail, you know, when they were downcast and all of that. And you have people in your life, when you're going through a really hard time, and you're struggling with something, and you feel lonely, or you're dealing with something in your son or a daughter or something at work, whatever the trial might be, your own health or your parents, and you're dealing with stuff and people come alongside you. And I mean, there's a bonding because you're sharing it together. But then, you know, somebody's in your group, their life gets better. Life gets better. I mean, it's like a promotion at work. You were all single together, but now they've met somebody, you know? And things are going well for them. And they're moving up, and they're happy about their life and where they're at. And they forget you. Forget you. That hurts. That hurts. It's like, hey, but we were, you know, we shared and we were like in this thing together and they've kind of moved on and you're still there. I mean, you're still feeling it. You know, the cupbearer didn't want to smell the dungeon anymore. He'd moved on from that. Cupbearer was proud of his position. He didn't have time for people like Joseph in jail. Enough time for them. We can do the same thing in our relationship to God. And I've seen this happen where, you know, somebody, you know, they start exploring spiritually. They know some things are happening in their life and that aren't good, and they begin to explore and ask questions and it's like they're really getting it, you know? I mean, they're growing spiritually and they're seeking God and they're reading the Bible and they're even praying, and then their life gets better. And they get busy with life and with their family and with their job and with their activities. They're just getting busy. And it's somehow Jesus, like Joseph left in prison, they just kind of forget him. He's not that nearly that important. Because now life's going on. Don't let that happen. How did Joseph feel? How did Joseph feel? How does our Lord must feel after giving his life on the cross for us? And we come to him in his mercy. He heals us and loves on us. And then things get going good for us and we forget him. That should never happen. How do you do it? How do you endure personally, though, these kind of disappointments with people? Disappointments with people. I mean, people that you like trusted and there were promises made and there was commitment. And you know, how do you deal with the hurt of the things that people do in your life? I mean, and we go, I know we could go around here, our whole church here, and you'd have a story. Some of you are embittered by it so much so that you say, I'll have nothing to do with them ever again. That's how I deal with it. Right? The family reunion's coming up and Father's Day this afternoon. You're like, oh. God is enough. This is an important thing that Joseph has to learn. It's an important thing that you and I have to learn, is that God is enough for us. He's enough. Listen, the scripture never promises you that people are always going to come through. You know, people are going to, I mean, if anything, it says that we're sinful and we're selfish. We're turned in up on ourselves rather than being turned outward as we originally designed to do in creation. We're turned inward on ourselves and we orient our life around ourselves. And so people guarding themselves, we get hurt. Scripture says that. But God is faithful and God is enough for us. He is our strength. I love the promise where God says so many times through scripture, multiple times, I will never leave you, nor will I ever, and I love this part of it, forsake you. I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. God doesn't walk away and forget you like Joseph was forgotten, like you've been forgotten by people and hurt by people and disappointed. God never does that. This is the promise that gives you strength, that gives you peace, it gives you, you know, a hope that God is in his love, even when I blow it, will never forsake me. When I sin and make mistakes and all, God will never forsake me. He'll never leave me. He's with me. And when you focus on that and when you meditate on that, then you're able, with the person that's really disappointed you, you're able to pray for them. As Jesus told us to pray for the people that hurt us. Say, I hate those verses. Yeah, but we need to. It's good for us. Pray for those people. You know, when we see them, because the Lord is enough for us, and we know that, Jesus Christ in our lives, sufficient for everything we need, all the love we need, acceptance we need, wisdom, power. Jesus Christ, my relationship to him is enough. So when I see that person, I refuse to walk the other way. I'll say hello to them. And I will, in whatever way I can, reach out. You say, that's so awkward, it hurts, and that's water under the bridge, and all of that. Well, you know, you're going to run into them at Costco. I've told you that. You're going to see him at a family reunion. You're going to, and so look, just Jesus is enough for me. Secondly, God's going to use your pain. He always does. He's going to use your pain in a myriad of ways. You know, he's going to make you compassionate towards other people who are going through the same pain, that's for sure. He's going to teach you, God's going to teach you about his ability to comfort you. He's going to teach you in your pain about how he loves you. You're going to know more about the character of God through your pain because you're going to see more of God's involvement in your life and in this situation. He will use your pain. He'll use your pain to drive you to himself, to humble you, to humble you. Max Lucado's got a great book. You Will Get Through This is the title. And I bought some and they're at the information table. Some went last night. If you're really feeling like Joseph in this series big time and you want a great read for this summer, Max Lucado's book, You'll Get Through This, on the life of Joseph is wonderful. But Max Lucado says that God is, you know, using the pain in our life. He says the dungeon looked like a prison, smelled like a prison, sounded like a prison. But had you asked the angels of heaven about Joseph's location, they would have replied, "Oh, he's in boot camp." He says this chapter in your life looks like rehab, smells like unemployment, sounds like a hospital. But ask the angels, oh, she's in training. She's in training. You know, the scripture says to us that we are to rejoice when we encounter trials of many kinds because it's through our trials that God produces in us maturity and character and hope. He works through the trials. You've been through trials in your life. Let's think of one you've been through. Okay, some really hard time. Okay, it's past now. Let's look back at that trial, that difficulty, and let's talk about what did you learn in your relationship to God through that? How did that trial change you forever? How is your heart more tender towards people and understanding of people through what you went through? What you went through and God brought you through? How are you more wise? You've gained in wisdom. And you even see now as you look back at that trial, I mean, how it's prepared you for what you're doing now. Would you want that trial? Would you say, oh, no, get that trial out of my life forever? No, you'd look back and you go, God, I see. You worked even through that. And where I'm at right now in my understanding of my relationship to you and what I see that you've done in my life, I don't want you to take that away. As hard as that was, because you really did shape my character and you really did work in me. So God is at work in the pain. And let me give you just a final thing here. God will vindicate you. God will vindicate you in his time, in his way. What do I mean vindicate you? Listen, Joseph was wrongly treated throughout his whole thing, right? I mean, his arrest, his Potiphar's wife, the imprisonment, all of it. It was just wrong, and the cupbearer forgot him. But God, what did God do with Joseph? He, in his time, put him in that position, as we'll see in the ensuing weeks here. We'll see how the dream comes true. God vindicated him. Don't vindicate yourself. Let the Lord do it. I mean, it's this cupbearer that forgot Joseph. That cupbearer would be raising the glass and giving it to Joseph. In a couple of years. Joseph was given the signet ring of Pharaoh. When he finally is in charge of things, Pharaoh gives him his signet ring, which is like all authority in Egypt belonged to Joseph. He could have taken that cupbearer. See, this is what it would have been if it was me, you know? I mean, it was like, and Brett rose to prime minister of Egypt, and the signet ring of Pharaoh was given to Brett. The first thing he did was called the cupbearer in his office, reamed him out, and threw him in jail for 4 years, just for fun, for forgetting me. You know, Joseph didn't. He knew that God was at work. Remember, it was Joseph who said to his brothers, you know, don't pile on the guilt guys, it wasn't you who sent me here, it was God. God sent me here. You meant it for harm, but God, in His amazing way, has turned it into good, the saving of many lives. God is behind the whole thing. He'll vindicate you. And so when you look at, if you can look at your life and you can go, look, number one, trials are going to be a part of your life, all right? I mean, I've wanted to say this in this whole study, but I want to say it again. What does the life of Joseph teach us? But that there are disappointments from family. I mean, you know, Joseph had this dysfunctional family. I mean, there are disappointments with family. There are. That's part of life. I mean, sometimes you're falsely accused. You didn't do it. But nobody believes you, you know? You're falsely accused. You're blamed for things. Sometimes people hate you. Like the brothers hated. They just hate you. Why? Why? Sometimes you're in a situation, it seems like it's going on for an ever, like your own pit, you know? And life is just crazy sometimes. Joseph, that's a reality. The other reality that is so important is that God is at work in you and to bring about His purpose through you, through all of it. So can you grab on to your relationship to God? Can you grab on to faith and say, God, I trust You. I trust You. I want to see. I don't want to get blinded by bitterness, blinded by doubt, blinded by anger. I want to just say, God, You're in it, and You're going to bring to pass what Your purpose is. I trust You. Let me pray for you. Lord, I know in this service today, there are some that are just, Lord, they just say, my life is Joseph right now. Lord, I pray that You would reveal to them in the story that we read here in Genesis that You'll never leave them or forsake them. And as a matter of fact, what they're going through is necessary. It's necessary for what You're doing and working in their life for the purpose You have for them. Lord, help that person even now in faith to say, oh God, I know You're going to use this. And I accept it as necessary for my own growth and dependence on You and weakness, Your power. So use me. And if you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ as your Savior, but you know your need, you feel your need, you see it, then come to Jesus even now. Confess your sin to Him. Turn to Him so that He might cleanse you, heal you, come into your life. And Lord, all of us just praise You for Your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.